At the table of grace, the cup's never empty, the plate's always full, and it's never too late to come and be filled with love never ending. You're always welcome at the table.
You are welcome to the table of our Lord Jesus Christ, where he dines with you and you with him. The Comforter, even the Spirit of Truth, is your chef, and I am your steward, Joshua Ojo. At our last gathering at the table, we saw that there were two distinct and separated spiritual domains of light and darkness, coexisting alongside one another on earth before the first man was created by God. We noted emphatically that being aware of the existence of these two spiritual domains of day and night is the foundation for our understanding in the exploration of our inheritance of our Father's kingdom. We also saw that the first man, Adam, was created by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. We concluded our meal by noting that the first direct communication of God to man was the one commandment given by God to the man, with its solemn warning of the certain and fatal consequence of disobedience. Today, we will refresh ourselves with what the man did with the only commandment God gave to him. Our main dish is served from Genesis chapter 3, from verses 1 to 6. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, as God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. Verse 5. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Tragically, the man disobeyed the Lord his God at the instance of his wife. As verse 6 of Genesis 3 reads in part, She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. We will note very carefully the steps to disaster and ruin, so that you and I may avoid same, God helping us. 1. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, God had clearly stated to the man that in the day they eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they will surely die. 2. The serpent did not come as a wicked one with an evil intention, but he masqueraded as a friend who had the woman and her husband's well-being at heart. 3. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, true to the credit given him, in a subtle way, the serpent directed the woman's attention to the tree they were commanded by God not to partake of. 4. In verses 2 to 5, the woman began to chat with the serpent, or, if you will, she began to flirt with the devil and his proposition. There is a traditional proverb amongst a people group which says, "What you do not want to eat, do not even begin to sniff it. If you do, you may end up eating it." 5. In verse 4 of Genesis chapter 3, after the devil had captured the woman's attention and been consistent with his nature, he lied to her, saying, "You shall not surely die." 6. In verse 5, after he had made God out to be a liar, the devil placed his bait in his trap. He painted a picture of the couple being better off if they disobeyed God's commandment. He fueled the woman's imagination with an illusion. 7. The woman believed the lie of the devil, swallowed the bait, and simultaneously, the truth of the word of God was supplanted in her heart with his lie. 8. In verse 6, we see how that the lie created in her a sense of inadequacy and discontentment. Discontentment with any aspect of our God-placed estate is the sure pathway to falling into the tempter's snare. Discontentment with God-ordained authority figures over us, discontentment with our spouses, discontentment with our parents, discontentment with our financial and social status in society, discontentment with our bosses would almost always lead to ruin and disaster, both in time and in eternity. With the woman now discontented, a desire was birthed in her for the fruit of the tree which they had been commanded by God not to eat of. The induced hunger must be gratified. She is compelled by the lust now in her to reach for the fruit. She did, she ate it, and she gave to her husband with her, and he also ate it. The old serpent's trap was sprung. His prey was snared through the combined artillery of deception and outright disobedience. The curtain is temporarily drawn on the tragic chapter in man's history, with the last words in Genesis chapter 3 from verses 21 to 24, revealing the Father in mercy, clothing the man and his wife, now named Eve, in coats of skins. The blood of the skinned animal must have been shed to provide atonement for the sin, and a limited pathway for fellowship between the Lord God and the couple. Finally, the man was sent out from the garden with the first law enforcement agents on earth, cherubims and a flaming sword, assigned by God to bar him from the way of the tree. Genesis 3:7 captures for us the immediate primary outward consequences of the man's disobedience. "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." The first thing the Bible reveals of the primary external consequence of the man's transgression is that the couple's eyes were opened immediately they disobeyed the Lord their God. What do their eyes being opened mean? In John chapter 3 and verse 2, our Lord Jesus responded to Nicodemus' quest in these words. Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, whosoever is not born again is blind to the kingdom of God, and must have his sight restored, or, if you will, the eyes of his spirit must be opened before he can see the kingdom of God. In Acts 26 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul reveals the scope of what he was commissioned by our Lord Jesus to do in these words: to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. We should carefully note that our Lord's mandate begins with to open their eyes. This is a direct reference and a reversal of that which befell the couple in the garden, as it is written of them, and the eyes of them both were opened. As we go further in examining in some detail our Lord's charge to his apostle, the meaning of their eyes being opened will become clear. Like peeling the layers of an onion, our Lord Jesus goes beyond the first layer of the opening of eyes, and he reveals what is underneath that, saying, to turn them from darkness to light. In Colossians chapter 1, from verses 12 to 13, the Apostle Paul reveals that in those who are born of God, there is a transition from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, the Apostle corroborates this translation of those who are in Christ, saying, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, here is a point. Immediately Adam disobeyed God, both of them were translated from the realm of the light, which had been their residence, into the domain of darkness. Consequently, they were sealed from the light which they resided in, and simultaneously became conscious in another realm. They came alive, as it were, in darkness, or as it is written, and the eyes of them both were opened. On this note, we will conclude our meal for today with the words of our Lord Jesus, taken from John chapter 12, from verses 35 to 36. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knows not where he goes. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. Amen.
Take me deeper, deeper in love with you.
We hope your whole spirit and soul and body have been nourished at the table of the Lord Jesus Christ today. You may send your comments and request for further clarification by WhatsApp to 0817-955-9161, 0817-955-9161, or send an email to thetableofourlord@gmail.com, thetableofourlord@gmail.com. Join our soon-coming bridegroom at his table at the same time next week. The grace of our Lord Jesus is with your spirit. Amen.
Take me deeper, deeper in love with you. Jesus, hold me close in your embrace. Take me deeper, oh yes, deeper than I've ever been before. I just wanna love you more.